Dragon Beg, as you said. Zahi already told you what is the iVector. Let me go quickly through. The iVector is an information-rich, low-dimensional, fixed-length vector representing a voice print of an arbitrary long utterance. So we like these little units because they're tiny and they turn the speaker ID task into a pattern recognition problem, and Zahi already shown how to deal with them. So just to go quickly about the subspace modeling again, so what we want to model is the data that come. So here's an example of an utterance, a blue utterance. So we usually model them using the Gaussian mixture model. We forget about the variances and we remember the means. We construct a super vector of the means. Now what we do is that we looked at more data and we extract the means of all the utterances, and we're trying to see their behavior, and we see that they have some kind of linear behavior, and this is what we assume in the iVector. So we see that they've got some offset, which is represented by the UBM mean, which is the M symbol in this picture, which is represented by the thick dots, and then we have the total variability space, which is represented by the hours, which tells in which directions we can shift the mean to adapt the mean to the incoming utterance. So the two metrics describe the directions of the Hess variability of S, and the vector W as a hidden variable, and as such we can impose a prior on it. So we'll choose a Gaussian prior, a standard normal prior, and getting some incoming data x, we compute the posterior of the variable, and which is also Gaussian with mean wx and a precision matrix lx, and basically what we call an iVector is the mean of this posterior. So without giving you any details, this is just a cookbook. Talk. So to compute the iVector, we need the statistics extracted from the UBM. So we have the zero-order statistics and the first-order statistics. Before we go any further, we do a little trick. So we center the data around the UBM. So we find which cluster of the data comes to which Gaussian of the UBM GMM, and we shift the data, and we also whiten the data using the UBM covariance matrix. Note that this covariance matrix can be full covariance matrix, as you may have already realized yesterday with Pavel's talk. Which makes the virtually it makes the covariances of the individual GMM components equal to identity matrix. So here's a cookbook equation for computing the iVector. So the wx is basically a dot product between some covariance of the posterior distribution, the factor loading matrix T, which describes the subspace, and the first order statistics. The precision matrix is basically a sum over all the Gaussian associated pieces of the T matrix, weighted by the zero order stats of that incoming utterance. And let's do a little analysis of what this function does in our computer. So we have C GMM components, we have F dimensional feature space, and we have M subspaces, M dimensional subspace, which describes our overall space. And so the m to the power 3 is the inversion. There's nothing much we can do about it. The biggest problem actually is the sum and the precision computation, and then we have the dot product of the individual matrices in the first formula. The memory complexity, just to say, we store everything when we're computing this stuff. What we can pre-compute, we pre-compute in advance, and we have to store this product in advance because it's not dependent on data. So the memory complexity is really high for this model. So if we imagine that in a typical model we have thousands of Gaussians, this can be really painful. And now the what we also have to store is the T matrix. So these two terms bound the complexity of all other terms. So the motivation for simplification of this formula is actually we wanted to port the application to small scale devices as part of the Mobio project. And we also wanted to prepare this iVector framework for discriminative training, where we thought that such equations could be quite difficult to compute gradient for. So let us first take a look at the first simplification. So what we assume here in the first simplification is that the proportion of the data generated by each Gaussian in the GMM stays constant across all utterances. So, and this proportion is actually given by the UBM weights. So what happens is that the sum in the precision computation gets independent of the data, and we can really effectively pre-compute it in advance. So we don't have to each time we compute that sum, I mean we compute the precision, we just if we look at this formula, we just, instead of having the sum there going from the upmost to the bottommost, we see that we only have a scaled addition of two matrices. So a little analysis. So we totally get rid of the CM square term in the computational complexity, and in case of memory complexity, basically we forget most of the data that we were storing before. Just to tell you before the results section, the number of Gaussians is in thousands, as I said, and the typical size of the subspace is 400. Size in hundreds. So this was the first simplification. Now we also had other thought. So we were trying to assume that we can find orthogonalization transformation G, some G that would diagonalize all the T transpose times T component associated parts of the factor loading matrix T, which are bothering us in the precision computation formula. So if it's a transformation, then we can multiply the equation from both sides and get something like this, and then to get the original precision we would just multiply it from both sides by the inverse of G if our assumption was correct. So the nice thing here is that we would be summing the diagonal matrices, which can be implemented effectively in any C or MATLAB code. And also the other thing is that the diagonalized precision matrix is diagonal. So if you remember, we were inverting it in the iVector extraction formula. So the iVector inversion of the diagonal matrix is trivial here. So effectively written, we can pack the all the T times T transpose T terms orthogonalized into a single V matrix, and we can simply do a dot product with the vector of zero order statistics, this lowercase nx, and we can this lowercase diagonal diag symbol stands for mapping the diagonal of that matrix to a column vector, and the capital diag symbol again maps that column vector to a diagonal matrix, and the iVector extraction is then given by the second equation here. The nice thing about it is that the G transpose in the middle of the term can be projected directly to the T matrix, which again gives us some benefit, and the, as we said, the L matrix can be inverted effectively. So if we look at the analysis again, in the computational complexity, we get rid of both of the terms as we're inverting only the diagonal, and for comparison, the memory complexity. We got an extra term, CM, but we got we got rid of that CM square term there. So the question is, how do we compute the G matrix? So the first idea was to use PCA, which we will see how it works. The second idea was to use this heterostochastic linear discriminant analysis. below is a simple example where I basically want PCA to rotate those two covariance matrices 45 degrees, but again the average within class covariance would be identity matrix here. So that was the inspiration, and it works with the LVCSR tasks. Just a quick step. We didn't say anything about training the T matrix. For those who know, there's a pair of accumulators that we have to accumulate while training the T matrix. We go over all utterances, over all training utterances, and we do some computation there, and we accumulate it, and we do some update at the end of this procedure. But inside this. Without any theoretical explanation, inside of this computation, we see that we again use the W, which is the final I vector, and we use the precision matrix. So if we know that we can simplify this precision matrix, we can simplify the I vectors, and all of this training procedure is simplified. So the memory usage with this simple trick, we get to about a half of the memory usage, and we can maybe effectively try to increase the other parameters, increase number of other parameters to for comparison. So for our experimental setup, we use MFCC features, the standard thing, short-time capsule mean and variance normalization. We use double deltas and double deltas. For the training set, we use different combinations of the switchboard 2, phase 2 and 3, switchboard cellular, the NIST 2004 to 2006. We use Fisher-English 1 and 2 for training the T-matrix. The test set we evaluated on the NIST SRE10 extended core condition farm, which is a telephone female only. One thing I didn't mention in the slides is that we use exactly the same scoring theme as Zahi mentioned in his previous talk. So we use the cosine distance within class normalization. The performance set, because we want to measure the speed and the memory demands. So we do use the MATLAB environment, which was set to a single core or single thread operation, run on some Intel Xeon processor. And we were measuring the speed of 50 randomly picked utterances from the mixer corpus, but we had the statistics pre-computed, so the statistics collection is not included in the analysis. And as UBM, it was a diagonal covariance, 2048 component UBM. I guess it was trained on all data but the Fisher. So the summary of numbers, we used 2048 Gaussians. The feature dimension was 60, and we use a 400 dimensional subspace. 400 has been chosen as a trade-off between performance and technical conditions. So, by technical conditions, I mean the configuration of the machines that computed the I vectors. But as I said, we were able to in the first simplification, we were able to decrease the memory demand. So, to be fair, we tried to use also m equal to m800 just to see what happens. And here is a little constellation plot of the results. So the X here is the baseline. Of course, the little block down the leftmost block is the 800 traditional I vector extraction. We see that the systems perform slightly poorer than the baseline, but. This is just an informative picture. We see that the best non-traditional, best non-traditional I vector extractor goes from 3.6 to about 3.8 equal error rate. The same analogically with the norm DCF. The rest of the system are slightly worse, but this work was, based on the analysis of the speed. So if we look at the speed of the computation. So with the baseline to extract those 50 I vectors, it took us 13 seconds. And You see the relative numbers here. So of course, taking the 800 baseline, there's a huge decrease in performance because the complexity there is quadratical. But still, the nice thing is that if we're able to train the system somehow with our hardware, we can afford to use 800 dimensional I vector and still get to about 10% of the original time that was necessary to compute those 50 I vectors. Now let's take a look at the comparison of memory usage. So for the baseline, so the first column, I mean the second column, where it says constant, that's something that we cannot change. It's something that we have to store in memory. But the algorithm-specific numbers show dramatical decrease in memory needs for the simplified algorithms. So still, if we want to use the 800 dimensional I vectors, we're still at a fraction of the memory that we need for the traditional. Not talking about the 800 baseline system, which again grows quadratically. So this is just to prove that we can use the simplification one in the I vector training procedure. Not only we save space, but also the simplification makes this process a lot faster. And these numbers just show that the difference between the fact that we train using the traditional I vector extraction and the simplified I vector extraction tells us that we can really use the simplified version. So the conclusions is that we managed to simplify the state-of-the-art technique in terms of speed and memory, with sacrificing some of the performance, the recognition performance. We have also simplified the formulas so that they're easily differentiable for our future work, which is going to be the discriminative training of the I vector extractor, the matrix T or the G, V, and others. Finally, we managed to fit the I vector based system to a cell phone application, which was one of the tasks in the EU sponsored Mobio project, which was a bimodal speaker recognition. Thank you.
So thank you. We have time for one or two questions. Okay, no questions. I have a question. So you made two assumptions to simplify the algorithm. Did you verify in some way that which assumption is the worst? Or
sorry, say it again.
Did you verify in some way with the data and not just by looking at the scores whether there was one or the other assumption was wrong? Or
By looking at the recognition performance, they were all both slightly wrong. I mean, there was a mismatch. Of course, the proportion of the data generated by the Gaussians is different. It's not always equal to the UBM weights, and because we're using 2048 Gaussians and finding one single orthogonalization matrix is also probably inappropriate here. So, but we tried and it worked somehow. So,
yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Other questions? Yeah.
So, if you use HLDA for your simplification version, you try to use HLDA with the first class, by the
last? No. I did not combine the techniques. I never combined the techniques. So.
Like, because you tried to say that HLDA helped.
It did. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. HLDA was better than PCA for orthogonal.
HLDA with the baseline.
With the baseline, no. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. That's a good point, actually. Yeah.
Okay. There's no other question. So let's thank the speaker again. Let's move to the next talk.